What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token, and you're listening to the Well-Spoken Token Podcast. Here on the show, we talk about everything on the black nerd spectrum, like anime, comics, movies, and trading card games, all through the lens of a backwoods black boy from East Texas. I'm a 28-year-old college dropout with a lot of life experience, and hopefully you get some sort of enjoyment from my perspective. Make sure you check out our socials and tune in every Wednesday for new episodes. This is the Well-Spoken Token, and I'm out. Welcome back to another episode of the Well-Spoken Token Podcast, yo. I'm so happy for you guys to be here with me. I'm so happy to be here with you guys here. Maybe you're listening to this shit on the bus. Maybe you're listening to it on a train. You could be commuting somewhere, walking, or maybe you're with your boo. Maybe you like to listen to me while you're riding around with your girl. Just like, damn, you know, I know all this shit. I know these words and these thoughts and shit. I'm just fucking with y'all. How y'all doing? Again, like I said, I'm doing fucking fantastic. Happy as can be. I will tell you this, though, it's been a crazy ass week in the last little bit. I've had insane family news come through. I've had my whole life, my whole like thought process flipped upside down when it comes to my own manga experience. And on top of that, I decided that it was a good time for me to get back into the motherfucking workforce. And you guys know how much I hate the goddamn cog in the wheel, 9-to-5 ass shit. But after that last episode, when I was told y'all I woke up and the lights were cut off, I was like, ugh, and that kicked the reality I was telling y'all about. Yeah, motherfucker, I had to go get a goddamn job. So we're going to be like working, we're going to be podding, we're going to be doing both. You know, I'm not going to let this stop me from giving the most I possibly can to the pod. Because you know what? I told y'all over and over and over again that I love each and every one of you, and I was not motherfucking lying. I'm trying to see y'all weekly, goddamn weekly, trying to say what's up, how you doing, make sure that everybody's temperature is good. You know, I'm that old black nanny that's coming in to make sure y'all, baby, you fine, you good, it's your weekly checkup, baby. I'm back here, yo. So let's go ahead and get into this motherfucking job situation. We're going back to an old fucking job. We're gonna be sitting taking calls and stuff. Can't get into too much about the line of business and all that shit, but I will say this, we back to taking fucking calls, back to being on a fucking call center environment set up. But I'm gonna be working from the crib, so best believe a motherfucker will be hanging the fuck out. I'll be smoking it's gonna be like the fucking 50s, man. Y'all, like, I don't know if y'all knew this, but back in the day, like, you know, when you used to be able to smoke in jobs and indoors and shit for the Clean Indoor Air Act and all that shit, call centers used to be the main spot for motherfuckers to just sit and smoke. And most of these women all just sat and smoked cigarettes. So I just imagine when I was sitting on the call floor back in the day, it was just like, damn, wouldn't it be great if I could just like light up a goddamn cigarette right now? Because if you've ever worked at a fucking call center before, then you absolutely know what kind of days you have. Yo, you talk to upwards of 40 to 50 people a day most days. Some days you get lucky, you might like only talk to like 10, 20 because it's a slow ass day and shit going on. But if you're in a high volume call center, you got the motherfuckers that come in and they work your goddamn nerves. And then sometimes you got people that just want to talk, and you got to just like breeze through that shit, all while reading the script, trying to meet a damn quota, thinking about shit like average handle time, which for the uninitiated, that shit means, you know, how long it takes to fucking take a call. Some call centers be like, you got 7 minutes to deal with this person. And the whole while it's just like, wait a minute, this motherfucker called me about their money and their livelihood. I doubt that I'm going to be able to get them off in 7 minutes, but every now and get them off. Pause. That pause, big pause, but handle their customer service needs in 7 minutes. But it's an interesting job, yo. And you talk to so many different motherfuckers like from all around the world. And so in a way, I was like, maybe a call center job environment set me up for this, you know, this whole situation. Maybe that's the spark that got me into podcasting, just talking to, you know, fucking 40, 50 different people from all over the fucking country at any time. I had to say that shit in my like bullshit ass interview. No offense, I hope that nobody I work with there like listens to should be like, hey, this motherfucker was talking shit about the company. I was like, I didn't mention the name of the company, and I'm not even gonna list the fact that I'm working there. I barely want to be there, so I can't get in trouble for this. Y'all can't green light me. So before I get myself fucking fired, yo, that's all you guys need to know about this new damn job. Besides, it's not going to take away from the motherfucking pod. So this week, besides getting a motherfucking job, yo, let's go ahead and get into this family news and all that good shit. Prayers, you know, Metachlorians, all that good shit for my grandfather and my father's father. He got some hella news, yo. He got a dash of little cancer, you know, trigger warning for everybody that had family that's passed from that kind of thing. You know, he's got surgery coming up pretty soon, like around the 7th, and he's got a chemo and all that stuff he's got to go through. So please keep him in your thoughts, your prayers as he goes through this. And, you know, of course, for my family and everything while they deal with, you know, the trauma and the hurt from all of this kind of stuff here. My grandfather, on the other hand, guys, he is doing just fine. Like, he's completely in good spirits here. The only thing he's pissing him off is some of the minor side effects that come from this. He ain't worried about losing his hair or anything, but he's strong. My grandfather's always been a fighter. Motherfucker's been electrocuted, pulled his own goddamn teeth out. He's a soldier. They say they don't make, you know, black niggas like they used to, you know. So yeah, he's cut from a different cloth, cut from a different breed, you know. So all my thoughts and prayers out to my grandfather, yo. So obviously setting the tone for the rest of the week, you know, that was towards the beginning of last week. When I found that shit out, I was in such an emotional fucking place, right? I couldn't find myself able to sit down and just watch my normal TV and my normal cartoons and shit like that. Yeah, I like that. I'm 28 years old. I was like, yeah, you know, I got to watch my cartoons, yo. But yeah, no, I couldn't just, you know, dive into a Naruto. In hell, with the new fucking Tokyo Revengers out on Netflix and stuff, that shit has permeated the culture, and I look so fucking dope. The meme are hilarious, yo. But I haven't been able to watch that shit. My brother, he got a chance to finish it, yo, and he dropped a post up on the face on the Instagram, excuse me, you know, letting everybody know he finished it and what he thought and stuff. And I don't personally care about spoilers, so I love seeing, you know, characters and shit and just theorizing. It's like, how is he a bitch? What makes that man a bitch? I don't know. But I haven't been able to focus on that shit in the slightest. And yeah, it came out forever ago, but I was planning on watching it sometime soon. And I plan on getting into it. But what ended up drawing my attention, right, what ended up, you know, tickling my fucking fancy was this anime that my girl actually ended up recommending. She was watching it. She watched like the first four episodes, and you know, she was like, this is really good, you really should check it out. And as soon as I saw the like the thumbnail and shit and the title, My Love Story, I knew it was gonna be a slice of life anime. And yeah, if you guys know me, yo, I'm a shonen dude, seinen dude all day. The stuff that's marketed towards me, I'm typically ready to watch or check out. Like, I like to get my drama and shit out with lasers and goddamn zombies and motherfucking scythes that are talking people, you know. Shout out to Soul Eater, you know, you give me panic attacks, but I want to watch you. There's so many different things that I'm into, but one of them is definitely not slice of life. The closest thing that I come to watching slice of life animes is like harem animes, which is like, because the multitude of the cast is females, you have to deal with females, women. Because the cast is mostly women, you have to kind of deal with some of these like cute moments, these like tender looks, and these cooking episodes, or you know, the ever so treasured beach episode. And that's the closest I'd gotten to anything that was like female centric outside of like, you know, things like Kill la Kill. But you know, can you really count Kill la Kill? It's all about like fiber textures and shit like that on young teenage girls and shit. Like, it's not necessarily anything that you could classify as a slice of life. And for those of you that don't know, slice of life is like a section of anime that's not, it's separated from all of the, well, not always, but usually separated from all of the mysticism or, you know, sci-fi shit that comes with some other animes. It's pretty grounded in reality, and it's always like centered around, not always, but maybe I shouldn't speak in fucking definites, but it'd be centered around somebody's like life, love story, high school shit, or like, you know, people's relationships as they go through that kind of stuff. Or yeah, sometimes they're really sad, so you know, it could be just like somebody who's going through like a rough situation, like my grandfather and shit. So that's the genre, slice of life. And shit, since I'm still a 14-year-old boy in the brain, like I was like, I don't want to watch motherfuckers motherfuckers live their regular life. Like, why the shit do I want to? I want to watch somebody's underdog story, like with the tragic backstory. But the tragic backstory is the driving force of their determination and shit. Like, I want to watch a nigga like be cursed and shit like that. That was the stuff that I was gravitating towards. So this week, with all my emotional state all fucked up, and her recommending this anime, I was like, okay, well, you know what? I'll sit down and watch it. So I started checking this shit out, and the thing is called My Love Story, and it's about these two boys. One boy is like a pretty hefty, you know, size, like first year high schooler dude, and the other guy is a very handsome, traditionally handsome dude, and they're both best friends. And there's kind of like a motif that they kind of play at the beginning. It's like a blue demon and a red demon, and everybody fucks with the red demon, but they don't necessarily fuck with the blue demon yet because they think he's like scary and shit. So the red demon's like, well, you know, I'll go out and I'll be the bad guy for you, and you can come in and, you know, save the day, and you'll be the good guy and shit. And so that was the whole setup here, is that like, oh, that the big dude was like his counterpart friend, and he was gonna like be like the ogre of the troop, right? And that the handsome dude was going to get all the love and shit, and that eventually he was going to push it off. That's what I thought this shit was going to be. As I started watching this shit, I was like, oh wow, I started to really fall in love with the characters. Like the big guy, Takeo, is this like earnest, stalwart ass dude who's just like a fucking, like he's compared constantly to a gorilla or a bear. And throughout his entire time as a high schooler, or as a middle schooler, excuse me, he's never like gotten anybody that's been interested in him. It's always been like people that are scared of him, but he's very popular with young boys. Whereas this handsome dude is always popular with the girls, but he keeps turning them all down. And then one day, like, the big dude finds out the reason he turns down, like his friend turns down all these girls, is because he's like, these girls were saying bad things about you, homie, and so I couldn't be with these girls, they're not good girls. And that was like touching. I was like, oh damn, brotherhood, that's nice, that's like, that's really cool slice of life, that's a dope ass concept. You know, I got brothers, you know, and I would never want to be with a bitch that was like talking down to my brother. And no disrespect to any women out there, but if you're talking about my brother, you a bitch. So I was like, oh damn, morals and shit, this is wholesome as fuck. Like, and so it keeps going, and next thing you know, like the big guy meets a girl, and this girl is like, is really into him, really obviously, but the big guy's so earnest and stalwart, like he's just like dense as fuck, he doesn't even know that the girl is into his ass. And so she has to go through all this rigmarole to try to get him to notice that she's into him. But in the time frame there, the guy's like, oh, she must be into my homie, and she's just talking to me to get to my homie. So he's like, I'm gonna help you guys get together. But he actually has this moment where he's like, damn, my heart, I've never had this actual feeling here where like I feel pain in my heart because she wants to be with him in his brain, right? Like, and so that feeling inside of him like cultivates and moves, and suddenly he realizes he's really into this girl, right? And so now you got two people separated by the idea that they're not good enough or some shit. And I was like, damn, I remember what that shit is like. I know what life is like not feeling good enough. Damn, slice of life, y'all out here hitting hard shit. And slowly but surely, as this anime unfolds and shit, I'm fucking riveted. It's like soap opera, almost drama shit. This insane stuff that keeps happening with these characters. And to say insane, it's not really that fucking crazy. It's literally like, oh damn, is homegirl gonna ask this nigga out on a date? I hope she does. Damn, are they gonna hold hands ever? I really, oh wow, the suspense. Like, I'm on the edge of my seat waiting for this like adorable pink haired girl to kiss this gorilla nigga. Like, is she gonna do it? Is she too forward to go talk to him? I mean, would that be too forward? I don't know. And I'm looking at my girl and she's just like, See, I told you, this shit is fucking riveting. And all the dopamine and fucking adrenaline and the hype that I get from watching, you know, fucking Goku power up and shit, or Gon Freecss like transform into his final form, he's gonna lose all his nin power or some shit. Like, all of that is wrapped up in these moments, right, of watching these teens just live their fucking lives. Like, and no one's about to die. The world is not about to explode. Like, no one has to save anybody except for like these random accidents that keep happening. And this gorilla nigga's just like, blam, I'm catching this steel girder, or blam, I just saved a dog from like drowning and shit. These are the craziest things that happen in their regular everyday life shit. And I just kept going, how am I so riveted by this? Why am I so interested? Is it because I'm in an emotional space and that all of these things happening just kind of put me in a better life, like, outlook? Is that the case? I just kept asking myself that question. And then as I kept watching and I was listening to like the actors just push it out there, I was like, oh damn, this thing is beautifully scored too. And I realized that the same kind of draw that I have to romantic comedies, which, if you guys don't know, I'm actually really into rom-coms. I'm very into like drama stuff. Like Moulin Rouge is one of my favorite movies. My mom used to make me sit down and watch that shit, and pretty much after like the first two or three times that shit happened, I was like, you know, I really love this shit. Like, My Gift is my song. Like, damn, the greatest thing you can ever know is to like love and to be loved again. Like all that Moulin Rouge shit, I was very into that. Like, what the fuck was the name of that movie? It was fucking Little Manhattan, also one of my favorite fucking movies, but also about like two small children that end up falling in love and watching them live their lives in the fucking crushing way and despair that is your first love, because that shit don't always work out. Sometimes you have to go through real tough shit. But what's cool about this manga and a lot of slice of life is that they process all of this with a beautiful score and a moral that you can put out there. A lot of the times, don't get me wrong, there is some what I'd call emotional terrorism out there, and I bet that exists in slice of life as well. Because what I'll say is that I'm so used to manga and animes that like the only time that I would get these moments of feeling, right, is through almost damn near emotional terrorism. Like you've built this character up, we've watched them grow, we love them so much, and then like you rob them of something very important in their lives and you have to watch that character deal with it, and then you have to deal with it. Like, we personified this character, this thing, and now we take it, we break it a little bit, and now we broke you a little bit. And that's the technique for getting shonen points across in most of the things that I've watched. Even like old school shit like Gundam Wing, same situation. It's just like, look at this little girl, she's like, if you guys remember like the scene between the blonde and Hero, I can't remember the blonde's name, but the blonde and Hero, she's like, I'm gonna invite you to my birthday party, and she goes to pass him a note, and he's like, bitch, I'd never go to your birthday party, like paraphrasing of course. And you're like, if you're little and stuff, you're like, damn, like I was always taught that you should be like gracious and shit like that. These kind of things, right, are these like little moments that you get in shonen anime and stuff like that. Whereas like in A Slice of Life, it's just like, hey, I brought you cakes, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna eat those cakes, they're delicious. And then the person that gave the cakes was like, oh, my heart is so happy because you ate those cakes and you enjoyed them. And I'm sitting there watching like, oh my God, my heart is so happy, everyone is enjoying cake, let them eat cake. And I just kept being so engrossed in this anime. So much so that when I got to my favorite episode of the entire anime, which try not to do too many spoilers, because I would actually really love for you guys to go check this shit out. Even if you're not in the slice of life anime, this might be the one for you. Like, go check out My Love Story on fucking Hulu. It's free if you have Hulu, so it's not free. I don't know. The main character guy has his mom, turns out that she's gonna get she's pregnant, and it's the time for the childbirth, right? And as he is prepping, he has this anxiety about him, like this constant worry. He's moving at supersonic speeds to try to get shit done for his mother, make sure shit around the house is good. And all the while, his mom, who has already had a child, is just like, yo, leave me the fuck alone, I'm fine, like I'm good, like I don't worry about me and shit. And you get to watch this boy fuster over his mom so much because he doesn't understand what he could possibly do in that moment to alleviate his mother's pain, right? He's watching her go through things. He's never had to be in this position before where the person that's usually taking care of him is suddenly in need of actual dire help. And it's a powerful moment because when I watch that shit, I remember back when I was younger, shit, even now as I'm as a fucking adult, like as these crises and things happen, right, I find myself like wrapping my brain around how to best help my family, but there's nothing that I can do. Like, yo, my grandpa's got cancer. The only thing that I can do is take that nigga back and forth from the hospital to, you know, his house and try to make sure the motherfucker's comfortable while the doctors do their fucking job. Or, you know, the fact that my father has heart problems, so every time something pops off, the only thing I can do is dump that nigga in a car, an ambulance, and move him to where he comes through. But the entire time that that is happening, right, my brain is firing on fucking 10 million electrons. Like, what can I do? This nigga need water. Should I get him some underwear? Like, you know, maybe he needs a goddamn change of shoes. Like, is this nurse a good person? All this stuff that's running through my brain as this is happening, I get to watch play out on screen as a young boy just gets to figure out something that's gonna, as we all look at it, turn out okay. The anime is not gonna like randomly rob this kid of his mom at this point, but it does happen in life. And to see it all kind of work out and play out, and the rest of his family, like from a top down experience, kind of look at him and watch him work so hard and for them, because they know, you know, what everybody's going through, and that the fact that he's probably going through something as well, but he's doing his best for everybody. Like, watching that shit, I was like, man, it touched me. It really did. I started crying. I couldn't, like, big boy tears. I'm sitting there on the couch just like crying my ass off, because I'm like, damn, man, that's like, I know that while I'm out here working and while I'm out here trying to like drive people back and forth and make sure people are on time and stuff, like that, that's probably what my family's thinking about me. Like, you know, that they're like, yo, we love this person. And, you know, we're so grateful and thankful for that kind of shit. And at that moment, I realized what the point of the slice of life genre was. It was that sometimes motherfuckers be having mad feelings. Like, sometimes people go through rough times and shit. And sometimes you need, in the same way with people who watch romantic comedies or, you know, drama flicks and shit, like, you know, romantic movies and shit. Sometimes you need these things to kind of rebalance yourself. Sometimes it's good to look at shit from a top-down experience, and or just watch people experience things that you've experienced as well, or that you're going through currently, so that you can, you know, you can find your center. Or maybe, you know, it's just cute to be fucking cute. Like, I don't think that when my girl watched this, like, she was, you know, actually we talked about it. And so the reason she was crying was because it was so pretty and so beautiful. But she's gone through, you know, trauma and things like that. So when she watches it, she talks to me about the fact that this stuff is cathartic in a way. And so I was like, oh, wow, you know, this fucking genre is something that I've been sleeping on. Like, I kept looking at shit like Fruits Basket and or in high school, whatever the fuck club. Like, those things, I could never get into them because I just wasn't seeing it through the right lens. Like, I wasn't processing it correctly, I guess. Or maybe I just wasn't at the point in my mind where I needed something like that. But in the process of watching My Love Story, it opened the door for me to say, maybe it's time to check out, you know, a bunch of different slice of life animes. Maybe I'm really like a slice of life ass shoujo ass nigga at heart, because I already knew that I liked, you know, rom-com stuff and stuff. So maybe this shit was for me. So to you know, shit I want you guys to take away from that stuff as I, you know, broke down a whole fucking slice of life anime, is that I highly recommend going through all your comfort zones, those walls and shit like that, where you're like, yeah, I don't really fuck with that. Like, even if it's something as trivial as like, oh, I don't like onions. Like, yo, go give that shit a shot. You never know if your brain's in a different place to process this kind of shit. Maybe older you likes onions. Maybe older you likes slice of anime, like slice of life animes. Who knows what you could be missing out on? I know I was missing out on a whole level of like emotional achievement, or maybe emotional like sustenance. Like, this shit was, you know, food to me. I was like, oh wow, the same way I consume like Naruto on a bi-yearly basis. Like, every 2 years I'll go back and watch that shit. I think I might go through and do that with like Demon Slayer as well. Who knows, you know, it's pretty damn dope. I might just go back and read it. This particular anime might go down with the rest of the greats, you know. And to add a shoujo to my list of shit, or my list of tops, you know, it's a monumental experience for me. You know? I just can't fucking believe it. So enough about me and all this, you know, wonderful shoujo-ness that I've been absorbing here. This week, we have some pretty dope-ass news, some incredible news for hip-hop, really. Jay-Z, Hova, Jigga himself, has been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Motherfucking Fame, yo. This shit is iconic, yo, because Jay-Z arguably is one of the most important people in hip hop currently. From fucking ground up, built his own fucking company, record label, has influenced so many different artists, is constantly being like listed as the one of the bars you have to hurdle to get to the motherfucking GOAT thing. If you're trying to get to GOAT status, like, you have to get past Jay fucking Z. And not only are we here at the podcast gonna go ahead and give him flowers and praise here, but a great deal of people actually gave the nigga flowers and shit. Like, he had a whole video with a list of people like fucking DJ Khaled, Rick Ross, Beyonce, you know, his motherfucking wife had to get on, you know, fucking Barack Obama, former president, 44, you know, two terms himself, gave big praise to fucking Jay-Z, saying that, you know, whether it was like needing to brush some dirt off my shoulder or, you know, getting ready to stand up in front of millions of people and talk, you know, he's gone to Jay-Z lyrics. And so that's a big ass praise, it's big love. Almost, I think the only thing that dwarfs it is probably being inducted this year. Jay-Z deserves his flowers because of how much he has impacted the hip hop world and culture. So big ups, big claps and shit like that. Big shit motherfucking Jay-Z. We cannot believe that we're at this point in history where we are getting our fucking, our goats are starting to get recognized and things. Like, I can't wait for the day that we look up and see Pimp C or DMX being inducted. These things are going to be incredible. And maybe not. Actually, no, they know both of these individuals have made such a great contribution to these the genre itself that I think it deserves that they both deserve their flowers there as well. You know, at least to be listed. If hip hop's coming that hard, then it's time to go ahead and start list, you know, giving these motherfuckers their real deal praise. So besides Obama and the laundry list of other people that gave their praise to Jay-Z being inducted, you know, Dave Chappelle actually was the person that signed that motherfucker away. It was a pre-recorded little message. And in that pre-recorded message, some people were kind of hot. He told he gave a little apology and then told everybody he was fucking with him. He's like, you know, I apologize. Obviously, you know, looking back at the shit that happened with the Netflix special and stuff about the trans community, we talked about it on the pod. If you hadn't caught that, go back and check that out. You know, it's in Pioneer of Androgyny. You can listen to that anytime on all the podcasts, you know, platforms and shit you might like. But Dave Chappelle, besides just, you know, giving out, you know, his brand of comedy, you know, letting people know that he's not sorry for the shit that he said on stage, you know, even if people are mad, because Netflix is riding with him, a lot of people are riding with him, I'm on the fence, you know, I still, again, don't necessarily give him too much love, but at the same time, he is one of the GOATs, so it was awesome for him to be there that night. But he said some real authentic G shit, and I was like, damn. Yo, damn, this nigga said, it's incredible. It's an incredible honor to induct this next man into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But I need everybody in rock and roll to know that even though you are honoring him, he is ours. He is hip hop forever and ever and a day. And I was like, you know what? That motherfucker is right. Take ownership of this shit because we created it. We made it. It's for us, by us, FUBU, real shit, yo. Everything that Dame Dash and him and Biggs did, because, you know, Jay-Z did give a shout outs to the people that helped him along the way, especially building that empire. You guys don't know, you know, it wasn't just Jay-Z doing Rockefeller. You know, he had a nigga named Dame Dash out there with him, had a nigga named Biggs with him. You know, Biggs' brother was Biggs' brother, used to be Dame and Biggs' brother. You know, that shit was, you know, Kanye, little Kanye drop right there. It's incredible. I'm very, very excited about that. The funny thing about it, though, is that me as a motherfucking music listener, right, as a hip-hop, like, self-proclaimed hip-hop nerd, I've never been into Jay-Z from like an album standpoint. Like, I understand his pen. Like, I get why he's a GOAT. I get why he's one of the best rappers around, right? But as far as like picking up a Jay-Z album, I just was not into it. I did not pick up any of the blueprints, but I'm aware of all the blueprints and what they did. Like, right? I'm a fan of Kanye because that nigga produced like all three of them hoes. So I know for a fact that like I like Jay-Z because Jay-Z's taste, right, helped fucking push Kanye out. into the world for everybody to motherfucking enjoy. So because of the fact that this man sits at the top of a huge hip hop family tree, like all the different like branches that go off from just sprouting from Jay-Z himself, it permeates into my own catalog and shit that I love and listen to on a regular basis. Like Jay-Z, as I look back, and especially in my older age, like I look and I see that nigga and I'm like, damn, you know, even though I never liked a lot of his albums, I never really checked a lot of these hoes out, his feature game, right, made me a fan of that nigga off rip. Like he's been on some of my favorite fucking tracks, like Seen It All, Young Jeezy, Big Pimp, and UGK. These are all people that I grew up listening to and love, and I'm a Southern rap hip hop like fucking lover. I love that shit. It's I bleed it. It's at the core of my being. Like I love Southern hip hop, and I'm always going to. If it's got that sound, I'm going to be gravitating towards it. So having this New York nigga, right, acknowledge and look back at people like Pimp C and Bun, like, you know, UGK and what they did, and reaching out to them to do songs like, you know, Big Pimpin' and shit. Like some of my favorite hip hop trivia and shit comes from that Big Pimpin' video and the Big Pimpin' song, like finding out that Pimp C didn't even like the fucking beat. Pimp C wouldn't even show up at the fucking like video shoot when they first shot it. He wouldn't fly out the country. He said, if y'all gonna do it in the States and I'll be there, you know. He was already like, they showed up to him. And you know, even Jay-Z was telling, like at one point Bun B talks about in the interview that Jay-Z told him, he was like, yo, your brother right there, that man, your homie, man, that nigga is a star. And so what I will say is that though I never really fucked with Jay-Z as like a musician, just as his own stuff, like his influence I cannot deny, cannot stop myself from saying, yo, Jay-Z is that motherfucking nigga. Like I might make fun of him for his giant lips and the fact that, like, you know, as far as like the gauge, the scale goes between him and his wife, how much of a gap that is and how that shit happened. I gotta give mad love to Jay fucking Z. Also being honored that night, we had Tina Turner, the Go-Go's, Todd Rundgren, who I don't know who the fuck that is, Carole King, and the Foo Fighters, who are also one of my favorite bands. Yo, they all got inducted that year, this year as well. So it's an incredible year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're getting a lot of dope ass people. Shout out Tina Turner, you know, getting that love and shit after she got that little movie she just had. That little movie, damn, listen to me fucking shitting on Tina Turner's experiences. And also, that wasn't Tina Turner that got a movie. That was Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin got the Respect movie starring Jennifer Hudson. If y'all hadn't seen that, y'all should check it out. Now, for the biggest announcement, for the biggest, bestest part of the pod, yo, we got to announce that it's November 1st, y'all. So you know what that motherfucker means? It's my birthday month, y'all. I'm turning 29 this year. Big deuce 9. For all my Scorpio folks, stand up. You know, it's November 1st, so we got to swag out for everybody, yo. So shout outs to the Scorpios on the page. One in particular, he definitely needed this shout out. It's my man High Five. I didn't know my man's birthday was like right before mine. So, you know, big ups to him. Even bigger though, I mean, you know, I can't say much is bigger than me, but guys, did you know that November 1st is the birthday of the McRib? Like, this was some dope ass knowledge that was shared with me by my man Top Five. He hit me up and he was like, yo, you know, you got to understand it. We got to give like credit where credit is due. Like big love to the, like to the real Scorpio out here, the McRib, yo. All you getting is munching on that delicious barbecue sauce, onions and pickles, yo. You know that shit is a Scorpio staple. The only time we get it, hopefully, is like the birthday month. I don't know. The McRib is probably coming back. I can't announce it. I don't know McDonald's pockets like that. But what I can say is that it's born in the same time frame as the realest motherfuckers around. Me, Chadwick Boseman, he was dope. Rest in peace. Speaking of Chadwick Boseman, something else we have to talk about with November, guys. Calm the hype down. It's also Cancer Awareness Month for pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, stomach cancer, and carcinoid cancer. So, you know, just be aware of all these things this month. Like I just said, we just found out my grandpa got cancer. He don't even got a cancer that's this month of awareness. But be aware of that shit, yo. You know, look out for yourself. Go get biopsy. Take care of me personally, right? I've always had a huge fear of the doctor, so I'm like, how do you gonna be a hypochondriac and have a fear of the doctor? So it's kind of a bitch. I wake up and sometimes I'm like, damn, I got it today. Like, whatever this is, I have it. I got it right now. But I'm not going to the motherfucking doctor, so I'm just gonna sit here and stress and probably make it worse. And then I think about how it's getting worse, yo. Anybody else out there hypochondriacs just be like waking up and like, oh, I got this sharp pain in my left fucking toe, so I must be dying right now. If there are people like that, you know, you're not alone. I feel your pain. Like, this is something I go through on the motherfucking daily. November is always an interesting month and time frame for me, because like it's a good period for reflection to start thinking about the years past and shit and the years to come and stuff. This one, on the other hand, I'm like, damn, I'm 29, baby. I'm 29. I'm about to be 30 next year. This is gonna be wild. 2022, your boy will be 30. Ages and shit. Like, I can't even really think about like how I'm gonna be after this motherfucker birthday. But what I will say is that each one has continued to like hit me in different ways. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, sometimes right at the birthday, sometimes right towards the end before I'm about to turn the next age and shit. So, you know, you guys be thinking about that sage wisdom and stuff, like what you're planning on, you know, acquiring by then. I was like, man, I'm gonna make a mil before I turn 30. And I guess if I calculate it all up, I'm nowhere near a fucking million. But, you know, shit, we got a whole another year. Maybe we blow up and we do bigger things. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds for the well-spoken Toco? But I love you guys. It's been so great having this time with you. So I guess I could say that the only thing that I want this year for my birthday, right, is for that each and every one of you that listens to the podcast or is about to listen to the podcast and is checking out this episode like down the line, some shit, to know that, hey, man, I love you. That was the coolest thing that my father could have done for me as a kid, is to just be like, yo, what's the one thing that I want you to take away from my entire experience of raising you? And it was that I love you. And so what I want for each and every one of you guys listening to the pod is that the only thing that you take away from this, even if it's not like general fucking entertainment or your trivia knowledge or anything like that, is that the well-spoken token loves and cares about you, like you personally. Yeah, I'm talking about you there in the car. Yeah, I'm talking about you over there in the shower and you out there, you know, just working your job, doing your thing, you know, making money for your fucking family. I see you out here grinding. I respect your hustle. You deserve money. You deserve a medal. You deserve the world, yo. Take it if you want it. All that good shit. I got music coming for you guys here. It's a band called Blair. My brother put me on to these dudes. I really fuck with this sound. It's very different from what we usually play on the pod. It's more of these like the Pixies type vibe. So be ready for this indie shit that we got dropping on you here from a dope ass band called Blair. Yeah. That was Needle by Blair, yo. These guys, I've always been into the like the indie ass sound and shit, like stemming back to the days like of my old school Childish Gambino times, like where he was rapping over indie beats and stuff. I've really enjoyed, especially that Fight Club time frame where the Pixies were like, you know, dope and shit. Where's My Mind playing as buildings explode? I think that this particular genre of music has such like a score type feel about it. Like there's always these like images that flash through my brain of like fucking mopeds and goddamn summer hangouts for teens and stuff and hard times and brooding and shit. And I always find that this type of music gives me that release that I need for this kind of stuff. So this week was definitely like an indie rock week. So I've been jamming a lot of this stuff and I'm so happy that my brother put me on. I'm happy to give you guys an opportunity to check that shit out. You can check him out on Instagram at Blair, that's Blair 123 XYZ. That's again Blair 123 XYZ on Instagram. They're on YouTube. You can check them out there. They got merch and shit. It's a pretty established band. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. I definitely did. This is the Well Spoken Token. And again, I love you guys. Signing off.